So we're going to start with a round of introductions just to remind you of movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else.
You didn't mention sports like Josh did.
For good reason.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. And, also want to remind you again of our email address, which is mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. And, of course, you can send us emails that you don't want read on the air, too, but try to send the ones you want read on the air for now, for the next hour or so. I don't know if there's going to be a podcast as a show tonight. David says there might not, so better listen while you can. That's my advice. I guess there's not much point in giving out the numbers, is there, which I usually do. So,
I don't think so.
We're not going to be
it's like the old days. You hear it, and then it's gone. It just goes out into outer space.
All right. Yeah. Send the pigeons out. All right. So we'll start with a round of introductions to take up as much time as possible. And here's
speak,
the first.
Speak slowly.
Yeah, I will. Joshua Cosman has spent the week pondering. I almost said pandering. Sorry. Has spent the week pondering this conundrum. If Donald Trump had been impeached by now, would we still get President's Day off tomorrow? Oh, man. Everybody would take a week off. You kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And for the first time ever, and for obvious reasons, Lori Fisher is hoping to completely ignore this year's President's Day by throwing himself into the Grammys, the Oscars, the NBA slam dunk contest, and, of course, baseball spring training, which opened last week.
All right.
Got sports in there. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, went all the way to Nordstrom's yesterday, but couldn't find anything from the Ivanka Trump collection. Unfair.
That's right. I threw that joke past one of the clerks at Nordstrom, and they said, believe it or not, that's not the first time I've heard that. So, yeah, people are coming in and asking for something from the Ivanka Trump collection.
Oh.
Yeah. This was in the men's department, too. So I don't think she has anything in there. Anyway, okay, all that being said, we will start with Josh.
All right. John Adams, the Berkeley composer, turned 70 this week, and until recently he was the first composer alphabetically – in an alphabetical list of composers who have had their work done at the San Francisco Opera. That is no longer true. In the last, just since 2010, there have been three, he's one of the top three, let's put it that way. He's one of the first three alphabetically to have their work done at the San Francisco Opera. All of them have been done since 2010. Can you name either his work that was done there since 2010 or the other two composers who are at the top of the alphabetical list?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I might have misunderstood your question.
Okay. If you alphabetize the list of all the composers who have had their pieces done at the San Francisco Opera.
Okay, John Adams.
John Adams is one of the top three. He's no longer number one. He's now at number two. But the top three have all been represented, everyone but him, since 2010.
Okay.
So recently done.
This is where we need our call-in. So I'm gonna ask, I'll get some hints here. Are they all contemporaries of Adams?
They are not.
Okay. And are they all... All right, so maybe that'll...
Well, their names start with A.
That's the idea. They all start with A.
Doesn't even count as
Adam,
a
but that's he's more of a ballet.
He's a ballet composer.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Are they well known enough so I should that you would be disappointed if I didn't know them?
No, neither of them is well enough known that you would be. I would be disappointed.
Are they known for orchestral music as well as operas? These people,
no.
Would you say
no?
So most opera.
No, opera. I'll throw in the question here. See if you can tell me the last alphabetically last composer. Now, you know this guy because you've asked questions about his music in the past.
Oh.
In fact, you've asked me a question about this piece, about this opera.
Have I?
Yes, you have. Well,
you should know this, Dana.
Well.
I'll defer to you since I don't know it. See if they're pouring in.
Yeah, they're pouring in.
Dana's checking his iPad and looking for
all right.
callers.
If that's too
minds
hard,
over mattering.
I'll ask you this. Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Yeah. Good news, though. I have an email from Nigeria saying that if I send my private information, I have $1 million.
Well, and they'll know the answer to Josh's question.
And Haynes has a special good sale on underwear. Anyway, just to remind you again, we're doing emails tonight because of phones. We're moving to the new studio, and the phones are not working. And it's Minds Over Matter. That's MINDSOVERMATTER at yahoo.com. Okay, we do have one. All right. Sparky has written saying, gentlemen, and this is in the Three Stooges, you would be looking behind your shoulder if somebody said gentlemen. And Joshua, will there be a review of the Lou Harrison performance from last night?
Yes. Yes. It won't run for another day or so in the paper, but we're going to try and get it online tomorrow.
All right. More importantly, to answer Josh's question.
Yeah, oh, good.
Oh, Thomas, is it Addis?
Addis.
Addis, sorry. She powdered her face, I believe.
Good guess.
Is that it?
He would be in the top three if the San Francisco Opera had ever done either Powder Her Face or his other opera, The Tempest.
Okay.
But that is not the case.
Okay.
Addis's music has been done by the San Francisco Symphony, but not yet by the San Francisco Opera.
All right. Could I ask you this?
Great guess, though, Sparky.
The two composers, the ones you're looking for, or the three at the top of the list, what historical period can you put them
in? One of them is currently about 50 years old, and one of them died in the middle of the 20th century.
Okay.
And how about at the end of the alphabet?
Beerwald.
Not Beerwald. Early 20th century.
Early 20th
is Mr. Okay. Z.
That one.
I'm working
he's the
on
only,
it.
He's the only composer in the roster whose name begins with Z.
All right. And go ahead, Lori. You go.
I'm such a fan of these alphabetical questions that I'm going to ask one, too.
Okay, good. All right.
So for some reason, on Turner Classic Movies, February is their month of the Oscars.
Right.
And when I turned on the guide, everything's in alphabetical order that they're showing. And they're not all nominated for big things, but I think that was just...
I've wondered about that, too. And I think to myself, you know, eventually they must get so bored and trying to think of new ways to program things that they just go with anything.
So this launched this question. So of all the films that have won the Oscar for Best Picture, if you put them in an alphabetical list, there's only one that begins with the letter E, one that begins with U, one that begins with N, and one with Y. So I'm looking for the single picture in each of those letters, E, N, U, Y. That begins with that letter.
So before we jump in, I'm gonna piggyback because I was about to recuse myself because I thought you were about to ask the question that I was going to ask, which is, on a list of the Best Picture Oscar winners, alphabetically, what's the first and what's the last one?
Fair enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Y is the last one, so I will recuse myself from that.
Just from the Y?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't take it with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
And while I think about E, U, and N, you think about what's the first one on the list.
All right. I'm going to recuse myself from that since I typed all of them out, and so we'll give those to Dana. Okay.
So the U is Unforgiven.
It is. 1992.
Good.
Very good.
Good.
So we have You Can't Take It With You and Unforgiven. We're looking for the
but
E.
But these are not all single-word titles. They're just... None of them are single-word titles.
Except Unforgiven.
Yeah. And you're alphabetizing after definite or indefinite articles, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so ignore the A and N.
All right. Okay. All right, I'll do a question here, too.
Okay.
According to Condé Nast, this is an article I read in Condé Nast Traveler, what are the seven cities in the world that are most often mistaken as capitals when they are not?
Oh, that's great.
by Americans, I should say.
Right.
By boorish American travelers.
So Istanbul, because nice I make that mistake all the time.
Yes, of course. Istanbul is number one. Very good. Yes. What are the seven cities in the world that are most commonly mistaken for capital cities when they are actually not?
I could guess, but then I'll be one of the boorish Americans.
I didn't mean boorish because I know it's
ill-informed.
But it's only Americans, right? I mean, so nobody...
The impression that they were pulling Americans.
I'm going to guess
American
New York
travelers.
Is probably not on the list.
No.
Yeah.
Right. No.
We know that much.
So... You want to guess?
I want to think a little bit before I come in. See what I know about world capital. Go ahead.
Rio de Janeiro.
That's correct also. Very good.
That's
yes.
Good. So what is the capital?
But of course,
Turkey?
You know, Istanbul and Rio de Janeiro used to be the capitals of
is that
their,
true?
Yes, both of them were. And once upon, well, Istanbul, of course, was Constantinople, and that was the capital before.
Why did Constantinople get
during
the works?
The Ottoman Empire period? What's that?
Why did Constantinople get the works?
It was moved. Oh, Constantinople. Oh, you're referring to the song. Okay, get the words. Okay, fine.
I can't be straight man for you all night if you don't pick these up.
All right, I approach things too literally.
Okay. Back to the Three Stooges.
Yeah, exactly. I believe. Gentlemen.
And the capital of Brazil, just so people know, is Brasilia, right?
Yeah. Well, right. But some of these changed capitals are not, even the originals are not well enough known. Oh. I mean, nobody's going to think about
How about Colombo. Melbourne, people thinking Melbourne.
That's a good guess, but no.
Oh. No, but you're close. Sydney is one, because they think it's Sydney and it's not.
No. Not in the top seven, anyway.
Let's interesting. All right.
Okay, so just once more, according to Condé Nast Traveler, what are the seven cities that are most commonly mistaken as capital cities when they are not? So far, we have Istanbul and Rio de Janeiro. And I'll give you another guess. Which famous American author was a direct descendant of one of the Salem, Massachusetts witches sentenced to be hanged in 1692?
Nathaniel Hawthorne.
No. He wasn't. Oh, he's not a judge. Of the witch. He was a descendant of the judge.
Judge.
Yeah. So, which famous American author was a direct descendant of one of the Salem, Massachusetts witches, sentenced to be hanged in 1692, but she escaped execution?
Will this make sense in their work? Like, did they write about this in some way, like
Hawthorne did? In a peripheral sense, sort of.
That this is a distant ringing in my mind. Is it Arthur Miller?
No, but I understand. I see what you mean about that.
Yeah.
But okay.
But it's not. All right.
It is not. All right. So we have a bunch of emails now. So let's go through some of these. All right. Art Martin asks, what California counties touch the Pacific? Too easy, he says. What about the counties that touch Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, and Mexico? He doesn't provide an answer.
This is all you. I don't know California counties.
Okay, so which touch the ocean?
Yeah, of course, Pacific and Mendocino.
And San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco. County.
And Marin.
Right.
And
I don't know. Yeah, Marin does.
Oh, Marin definitely does. Okay. And then you said Mendocino.
Right. Humboldt. I think Humboldt does.
I think Humboldt. How about Eureka? Is that a county?
No.
No?
Eureka's in Humboldt.
All right.
We can leave it out.
Let
people.
All right.
Okay.
So we have, how many counties are there?
He doesn't say.
Okay.
So what California counties touch the Pacific?
So we have San Francisco, Marin, Mendocino. We might as well say Los Angeles County. That does.
All right. And Elkhorn. It's going to be a joke email. It says the Ben & Jerry's new flavor, impeachment, with Trump's name. Okay, fine. Opera composer Roland Brown says George Antheil.
Ooh, good guess, but no. I'm not aware of any operas by Antheil. They certainly haven't done any in San Francisco. The two composers I'm looking for are earlier in the alphabet than him.
Oh, okay. So we know it's before A.N.
Before A.N., yes.
All right.
Well, Adams is... They're before Adams, right?
No, one is before Adams, one is after.
Okay.
Okay, Bill Hamilton writes, one of the opera composers, how about Alfano's Cyrano de Bergerac?
Give the man a bell.
There you go.
Yes.
Nice.
Good job.
Well, first done here
in
2010 as a vehicle for Placido Domingo.
Okay. Good. And next, Heather Hernandez, a very nice person who I've met. Hi, here's a question. I'll email the answer separately. Thank you. I'm going to give you the nicknames of six characters that were regular characters in a TV series. Please tell me the TV series they were on. Okay, here are the six characters. And so tell me...
So it sounds like they're all in the same series?
No.
Okay,
I think that they're all different.
Okay.
Pickles.
Mm-hmm.
Lovey. Grandmama. Or Grandma. Skipper. Spike, the professor. So Pickles is
somebody's wife.
It's
Maury Amsterdam's wife.
Yeah,
and Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good.
So the professor and Lovey are both on Gillian's Island. Lovey
right,
is,
Lovey's
is
his wife.
Is Mrs. Howell.
Mrs. Howell.
Good. And the professor
is the professor really a professor, therefore not his nickname?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, and also the skipper. The skipper, Grandma.
Right.
The skipper, Lovey, and Professor. We got three.
Right.
Who are Spike and Grandmama?
Well,
Spikes?
Couldn't that be the Adams family, Grandmama?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
What they called her.
Is it?
Grandmama.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't remember that.
Maybe.
Now, Spike's a character in the Archie series, but I don't think he means that. Spike was...
All right.
So three of them we think were Gilligan.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Come back
okay, so we're only missing Spike, maybe. She should email in the answer. Right. See how many we missed.
M. Adamson just emails the single word Marilyn. What was that for? Maryland? Oh, for a movie that begins with...
Oh, we're looking for E and N, like in Nickel.
For a movie that begins with E, Maryland. Yeah. But Maryland doesn't begin...
That might be a different answer.
All right, never mind.
Oh.
I'll get back to that when I figure it out. Mistaken capitals. Renee says Jerusalem. No, that is not, because that actually is the capital.
Also, Tel Aviv is the answer. People think
Tel Aviv is the answer. Right. Yes, yes, yeah. Good. Good.
Well, that's a great hint. We have a guest from the studio audience on the author related to sandwich, Thomas Pynchon.
No. What an excellent guess. Right. The name is right.
Okay.
Because I think the Pynchon, there was a Pynchon involved in the sandwich trials.
Yeah. I think so, too. All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're working.
And, all right. Back to you, Josh.
Okay. So, Dana, you and I have not been on the show together in quite a while, and I've been saving this question up for when we were. Because a few months ago, I had a question about title characters in movies that are not actually named as the title, but just, in other words, the title describes the character.
Like The Godfather.
Okay. I found all the ones that had won somebody a Best Actor Oscar, and I asked, if I say Vito Corleone, what's the movie? And I did that for Best Actor Oscars, but then the ones for Best Actress were a little tougher. So I wanted to save that, and I knew you would like this.
You're giving us their character's name?
I'll give you the easiest one as the example. If I say Margaret Thatcher, the movie and the actress
Meryl Streep in
The Iron Lady. Right, it's the title character, but not named in the title.
Right.
So all of these won Best Actress Oscar. So I want you to give me the actress and the movie, and I'll give them to you. There are one, two, three, four. And there are nine of them. Ooh. I'll give them to you in chronological order.
All right.
Yeah. Norma Besant, Besant. I don't know how to pronounce that. Jerry Martin. Julie Marsden. Katie Holstrom. Catherine Sloper, Georgie Elgin, Annie Sullivan, Fanny Bryce, and Loretta Lynn. I'll take the low hangers.
Annie Sullivan is the miracle worker.
Right, played by
Anne Bancroft.
Correct.
And Fanny Bryce is Funny Girl, played by Barbara Streisand.
Well done.
And Loretta Lynn is the coal miner's daughter, played by Sissy Spacek.
Okay. Right. Give the man three bells, and then...
I'll give him one bell.
I would have held off, but there's no call-ins.
I just picked out three.
All right.
Julie Marsden, is that Betty Davis and Jezebel?
That's correct.
Katie Holstrom, that's Loretta Young and the Farmer's Daughter.
Right.
And Catherine Sloper, that's the Henry James novel, that's Washington Square, but it's Olivia de Havilland in The Heiress.
Well done.
Okay.
So you guys each got three, and we'll leave three out for the three toughest ones for listeners. Norma Besant, Jerry Martin, and Georgie Elgin. These are all characters, title characters in movies for which the actress playing this character won a Best Actress Oscar. So give us the actress and the movie.
All right. Heather writes back and with the answers. But we do have Pickles, Lovey, Grandma. That's the Addams Family was Grandma. Skipper, of course, Gilligan's Island. The Professor, Gilligan's Island. Spike, which is the one nobody got. That's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, Janosch writes that... he's guessing Franco Alfano for Cyrano.
Yes, somebody else called it and got that, but right. That is correct.
Okay. And Fred Fred is writing about the capital cities. He suggests Johannesburg, South Africa, which is indeed one of them. Very good. Amsterdam, no. Ho Chi Minh City, no. And Mumbai, no. But you got Johannesburg.
We have four of them now, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Ann Bingham about the California counties says Sonoma, San Diego. California. It's just Sonoma and San Diego. Okay,
Do you have the right answer?
No.
Sonoma's great. I didn't realize Sonoma went to the coast, though.
Maybe it does.
I think it does.
I don't have a map in front of me, so it's hard to say. Okay. Matt Skinner got the Gilligan's Island. Good. Steve, let's see. In what Wes Anderson, this is Steve McLaughlin, in what Wes Anderson movie does a character say, "Not if I don't see you first"? Also, our names are Sarah and Vincent.
Wait, what's the last part mean?
I don't know. Also, our names are Sarah and Vincent. What would that be referring to? We'll figure it out.
So read the whole thing again.
Okay. In what Wes Anderson movie does a character say, "Not if I don't see you first"?
Hmm. Not one I've seen.
All right. And in the meantime, Laura, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I have a handout for this one.
I haven't got enough to do here.
Visually.
Give me a handout. Okay, fine.
So I'm taking a course in lyricists, Broadway lyricists, and it made me think about lyrics to songs that had won the Oscar for best
Where is that course being taught?
At OLLI, Osher Lifelong Institute in Berkeley at the Freight and Sound.
Oh, okay.
Very entertaining class. And so it just made me think about...
It's come to that, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. That's what the emeritus does.
All right.
It's given me an appreciation, which I've always had, for lyrics.
Good.
So I pulled out the lyrics from some Oscar-winning best songs, and I'm looking for... What song is this from? I will not sing them. I'll just say them. And then if you know the movie and the lyricist, we'll get extra bells for that.
So, I'm sorry,
Songs that won Academy Award for Best Oscar.
Okay.
And here's the first one.
Oh, go ahead.
"And to fool the people is his only thought. Though he is slippery, he still gets caught." Second one is, "Of cushions on the floor, hash with Dinty Moore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought."
And
the third one is, yeah, maybe you should. Yeah. "When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane." Mm-hmm. Number four, "When a star is born, they possessed a gift or two. One of them is this, they have the power to make a wish come true." And I'm skipping one on your list. I think I crossed it out. And mm-hmm. The last one is, "I may even give them Pagliacci. Now stand back and give him air. If one can relax, and we'll have a few yaks." Anyway, there's one. There's a bunch that are tipped
those
off.
Are great.
But
I only know one of them, so let me
go ahead.
"When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane." That's the intro verse to "Somewhere Over the Rainbow" by Yip Harburg. Over the Rainbow.
Good job. Nice.
By Yip Harburg.
Yeah, who is really interesting. Yeah. All right, very good. That's the intro. And I think Judy Garland doesn't sing it in the movie, right?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right.
Another Josh? Oh,
Cushions on the Floor. You were going to take that, but I have a guess if you don't know.
Go ahead. I know.
Oh, you know it. We'll go.
All right.
It's
So I'll read it again.
How lovely it was.
Cushions on the Floor.
Thanks for the memories.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it's from.
It's Leo Robin did the lyrics.
He did. Oh. And what movie was it in?
Big Broadcast in 1938.
Yeah. And it's worth saying again, "Cushions on the Floor, Hash with Dinty Moore, That Pair of Gay Pajamas That You Bought in Nevermore." It's Thanks for the Memory, which became Bob Hope's theme song.
Right, right. And they do it very nicely in the movie.
They do.
Shirley Ross and Bob Hope.
And he sings it in the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Bob Hope.
Yeah.
It's got great lyrics.
And "And to fool the people is his only thought, though he's slippery, he still gets caught." That's or "Would you rather be a fish?" That's "Swinging on a Star."
Yes. Yeah. "It's only thought that he's slippery, he still gets caught. And if, by the way, if you don't go to school, you may grow up to be a mule."
A mule.
Yeah.
Right.
And what movie?
Going My Way.
Yes. 1944.
Right.
Very nice. Give yourself spells and them.
Burke and Van Heusen.
Yes.
Johnny Burke.
Yes. Yeah, very good.
Okay.
Lyrics, Johnny Burke. So we have two more out there. Should we leave them out for the
okay.
listeners and
right.
callers in? I'll read the two that are out.
Yeah.
"When a star is born, they possess a gift or two. One of them is this, they have the power to make a wish come true." And the last one is, "I may even give them Pagliacci. Now stand back and give him air. If one can relax, and we'll have a few yaks."
Okay.
Two great songs.
Just to remind you again, we are doing emails tonight because the phones are not quite up and working. We are in the new studio for KALW. It's very nice, but it's just kind of a shakedown cruise. So just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. I have my iPad, so hopefully we'll get all your emails. Again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. I will read as many as I can. Our panel tonight is Josh Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Laurie Fisher, Professor Emeritus at Apple Valley College, and your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. You're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Okay. Let's go through a couple of emails here. All right. Matt Skinner, again, said Gilligan's Island. That's correct, of course. Thank you. John Sparky, I should say. Composers at the other end of the alphabet in San Francisco Opera, Zelinka, Zemlinsky. I doubt that they ever did Bern Alois Zimmermann's Des Soldaten. So is it either Zelinka or Zemlinsky?
It is none of those three. Those are all good guesses, except I'm not sure Zelinka wrote any operas, but Zemlinsky they sure should have done, but they haven't, and they have not done Zimmermann.
What would be the Zelinka opera?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't.
Oh, they should have done
Zelinka. No, Zemlinsky would be nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
Zemlinsky's operas are kind of real interesting.
All right.
They haven't done them here. So none of those. Those are all good guesses, but the Z we're looking for. Let me just situate this for you culturally. The only time it's been done was 1956. It's that kind of opera.
When Mr. Adamson wrote that up, I should have been reading the title on the email, which is E.T. for the movie that starts with an E.
Didn't win Best Picture.
It didn't. It didn't. Whew. And I was going to have to decide if it was one word or not.
No.
Oh, no, it's not a one-word title. No. But, yeah, no, it didn't win Best Picture. No. That's correct.
Okay.
Whew. Yeah, thank you, Josh.
All right. Julie Fennerty says that these are the ones, that the counties that I know, that the border the ocean. Humboldt, Mendocino, Sonoma, Marin, SF, San Mateo, Santa Cruz, Monterey, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Ventura, Los Angeles, Orange, and San Diego.
That's a good list.
The one I cheated on, Del Norte. I guess you looked that up.
Yeah.
It's a very good list. Thank you.
Yeah. Monterey, obviously. That's great.
Okay. Janos says the last SF opera composer in the alphabet, Marco Tutino, two women?
No.
Okay.
We're looking for a composer whose name starts with Z.
A Z. Okay. And Herbert Child says the foreign cities, mistaken as capitals, Cape Town, Zurich, and Geneva. And let me just look at that question for a second here. Geneva, yes, is one. Very good. Excellent. Good.
What is the capital of Switzerland?
Is Bern.
Bern.
Bern, baby.
Yeah.
And, okay. So I'll do a question here. Now, I've been saving this, too, since the Academy Awards are coming up. So I'm going to give you six actors, and they all appeared in three different Best Pictures.
Wow.
So I want you to tell me what the Best Pictures are. Okay, so these are six Academy Award-winning actors. They didn't necessarily win the Academy Awards for any of these pictures, but these are six Academy Award-winning actors who appeared in three Best Picture winners. Okay, here are the actors.
And we have to tell you the pictures they were in?
Exactly.
Oh.
For a total of 18 answers?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have...
Yeah. We'll be here a while. It's good.
Yeah, all right.
Good.
Number one is...
Nobody can call in to interrupt us.
Right. No, not at all.
We only have silent time.
Number one is Ralph Fiennes.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Colin Firth. Number three is John Gielgud. Number four is Dustin Hoffman. Number five is Shirley MacLaine. And number six is the hardest one, Donald Crisp. So these are all Academy Award-winning actors who appeared in three different Best Picture Academy Award winners. Tell me match them up to the correct Academy Award-winning Best Pictures. Number one, Ralph Fiennes. Number two, Colin Firth. Number three, John Gielgud. Number four, Dustin Hoffman. Number five, Shirley MacLaine. Number six, Donald Crisp.
Are you going to make us get all three for a single thing, or can we chip
away
at this?
You can piece it together if you want.
Want to take some?
Sure.
I'll give you two guesses each, okay?
All right. So Donald Crisp was in How Green Was My Valley.
Correct.
And
good.
Dustin Hoffman, right away, Kramer versus Kramer came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good.
Josh, you take a couple.
I had Kramer versus Kramer. Well, Colin Firth was in Shakespeare in Love.
Right.
And Ralph Fiennes, of course, was in Schindler's List.
Right.
And what else was Ralph Fiennes in? Oh, no. Now I take it back.
There's one that, I'll be honest with you, there's one that I had no idea he was in because I never saw the movie, and I think he just had a small part.
A Best Picture winner that you've never seen?
Yeah.
Hold the presses.
One of them relatively recent.
Sure.
Okay. So again, these six Academy Award-winning actors also appeared in three Best Picture.
Oh, Shirley MacLaine was in Terms of Endearment.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. There you go. Okay. I'll give you a couple more guesses later on.
All right.
So the actors for the three best pictures for each of these actors, Ralph Fiennes, Colin Firth, John Gielgud, Dustin Hoffman, Shirley MacLaine, Donald Crisp. And, okay, well, this is some more emails here. Give me one second.
You can tell how the muscle memory is. Let's go to a call.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. All right.
So we have none from John Gielgud.
Right? Yeah, which is weird.
Was he in Lawrence of Arabia? No.
No, he was not. He was not.
He was the only English actor. Not
yeah.
Well, how about Gandhi? Was he in Gandhi?
Yes, he was in Gandhi.
Oh, well
very
done.
Good.
Guessing good. Movies that have every English actor.
Right, right.
Was John Gielgud in Hamlet? Olivier's Hamlet?
No, he was not. Mm-mm.
Okay.
So Art Martin gave all the correct answers for the counties that touch the Pacific. I won't go through the whole list once more, but thank you, Art. That's very good. Here's your bell. Thank you. And Karen Rhodes says, mistaken capital, Sydney, Toronto, Johannesburg. You're right about Johannesburg. And nobody's gotten Toronto, which is one on the list as well.
Wow.
Very good. Very good. Good job. Judy Peck says, I am sure Sue Schweik knows this too. The Pynchons live in the house of Seven Gables in the Nathaniel Hawthorne novel of that name. Yes, Judy. Is that they do, don't
they?
Okay.
But that's still not the answer.
That's still not the answer.
Question.
But that was a very interesting piece of information nonetheless. Thank you. Steve McLaughlin says, question for the show. That's right. He's the one that asked in the Wes Anderson movie in which the character says,
oh, yeah.
Not if I don't see you first. Also, our names are Sarah and Vincent. I'm going to get that. I'll figure that out.
Maybe that's...
Oh, okay. The answer is, anybody?
Go ahead.
The Life Aquatic.
Okay.
The names aren't part of the question. We just wanted to hear our names on the radio. You misspelled here.
Don't criticize it. That's great.
But Sarah and Vincent, of course.
And you've said their names many times.
Sarah and Vincent. Sarah and Vincent. There you go. We're not. We're happy to do stuff like that. Fred Mim says California County's Monterey. That is correct. Good, Fred. Alex said African actor. Let's see. African actor Jim Kelly and European American actor John Saxon assist what pioneering Asian cinematic hero in what movie? Is it Enter the Dragon? I know it's a Bruce Lee. Yeah, okay. It's Bruce Lee. Enter the Dragon. Okay. Yes, that's correct. Okay. All right. And Josh, it is your turn.
Oh. All right. What countries have the as part of their official name? There are five or six of them, depending how you count. I expect you to get all six.
The Gambia.
The Gambia is one.
Not the Ukraine?
Nope.
Not the Ukraine, okay. Yeah.
This has come up.
The Bahamas?
The Bahamas is correct.
Right.
It's come up some way. I don't know if like this. Okay, the Gambia's first? Or one of them?
The Gambia, the Bahamas.
So you can't use it as like the People's Republic of blah,
no.
blah, blah.
No.
All right. How many are there again?
Five or six, but I want all six.
Five or six?
Yeah.
You mean there's one that's
one's
kind
in
of
dispute?
Iffy? One's iffy, yeah. But I expect you to get it because you're smart fellows.
Yeah. That won't work. That flattery thing doesn't work. doesn't make me that smart.
The Republic of South Africa. Okay, I have to think of that. I have to think about it a little bit. Could you just give the question?
So the question is, what countries have the word the as part of their official name? The Bahamas, the Gambia, three more, or maybe four?
All right.
Should we go over our missing questions?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have a clock in front of me.
All right.
So.
I was asking about the an alphabetical list of all the composers whose work has been done at the San Francisco Opera. John Adams is now number two. He used to be number one, but now he's number two. Franco Alfano is number three. I'm still looking for the number one composer who took up that spot when they did his opera in 2012. Looking for the last alphabetical composer. The only one to start with Z. They did his piece one time in 1956. Laurie and I I'm also looking for title characters right. of movies that won Best Actress Oscar. Norma Bazant, Jerry Martin, Georgie Elgin. These are all title characters for movies for which the actress involved won a Best Actress Oscar. Go ahead, you should.
Georgie Elgin. Georgie Elgin is Grace Kelly in The Country Girl.
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
So the two that were left are from the very earliest years, 28, 29, and 29, 30.
Oh. Catherine Bazant.
Norma Bazant.
Norma Bazant.
And Jerry Martin.
Is that? Oh. Is one of them Janet Gaynor in Street Angel or Seventh Heaven?
Neither.
Or Sunrise?
No.
Okay.
None of those.
All right.
And Laurie and I together cobbled together questions about best picture movies and the letters they start with. And I'll let him do the letters, but I'm still looking for the very first one alphabetically on an alphabetical list of best picture Oscars.
All right, Laurie, I'm recused from that. I gave that question of only one best picture has had as its first letter, Y, where we got You Can't Take It With You and You, Unforgiven. I'm looking for which best picture won for the letter E. And starts another one that starts with the letter N. And then we have two songs left. These are lyrics from songs that won the Oscar for Best Picture. When a star is born, they possessed a gift or two. One of them is this. They have the power to make a wish come true. And the other one is, I may give them Pagliacci. Now stand back and give him air. If one can relax, and we'll have a few yaks. Would love the name of the picture and the lyricist, if possible.
When a star is born, they possess a gift or two. One of them is this. They have the power to make a wish come true. That's the verse to When You Wish Upon a Star.
It is. The clue was embedded in there. In which movie?
In Pinocchio.
Yeah. Who wrote the lyrics? Remember?
Ooh, it's Ned Washington.
It
and,
is. He wrote the lyrics. And yeah, Lee okay. Harline.
Yeah. Right.
Very good. Just give yourself a bell. So all one right. more there, and that's my questions.
Okay. Yes. And according to Condé Nast Traveler, I think we have one.
Six of them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how many we have left here. According to Condé Nast Traveler, the seven cities in the world that are most commonly mistaken for capital cities when they are not. So actually, so far we have Istanbul, Rio de Janeiro, Geneva, Johannesburg, Toronto, Tel Aviv. Actually, there's only one left on the list. So there's only one left.
You want to tell us what continent it is?
It is not on a continent.
Ooh.
There you go.
Is it
hard enough for you?
Is it Mars?
No. It is not straight. It is not really strictly on a continent. No.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. And the Academy Award-winning actors who appeared in three Best Picture Academy Award winners. So far we have Ralph Fiennes, the actors are Ralph Fiennes, Colin Firth, John Gielgud, Dustin Hoffman, Shirley MacLaine, and Donald Crisp. I should say so far we have Schindler's List.
We've gotten one of each.
Yeah, Schindler's List for Ralph Fiennes, Shakespeare in Love for Colin Firth, Gandhi for John Gielgud, Kramer versus Kramer for Dustin Hoffman and Shirley MacLaine, Terms of Endearment, Donald Crisp, How Green Is My Vow. Yeah, you're right.
I have a few more of those.
Yeah, so go ahead. I do. Colin Firth was in The King's Speech, which we left
of course.
Sitting there.
Yes, yes. Good.
Dustin Hoffman was in Rain Man.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
And good. Shirley MacLaine was in The Apartment.
Yes.
That's
all right.
For a while.
So, good.
Oh, and Ralph Fiennes was in The English Patient.
Yes. Okay, so there's only one left for Ralph Fiennes. And, all right, get a couple more emails here. Let me just... find out where we were. Okay. Well, give me 1 second. All right. Yes, Mark Siegel had When You Wish Upon a Star from Walt Disney's Pinocchio. Very good. Thank you.
Very good.
Herbert Childs has The California Counties. Excellent. Bill Hamilton, Toronto as Mistaken Capital of Canada. Very good. That's a bell for all of you. Irene Myers says, what three Best Actress Oscar winners have the same first and last initial? Oh, that's a good question.
As one another or as themselves?
Well, what three...
Oh, all right. I mean, that's a silly...
So, what three Best Actress Oscar winners have the same first and last initial?
Hmm.
Huh. Okay. So, first and last name.
Did Jennifer Jones end up winning?
Yes.
She
yes,
did, right?
Very good. Yes. Good. Good, good, good.
Oh, so that's the question.
Yeah, that's the question.
I assume that was the question.
That's, you're right. Right. Okay. You're right. Who else?
Not Marilyn Monroe.
No.
Susan
Sarandon, yes.
Very good. Yes.
For Dead Men Walking.
Good.
And
one left.
That's all? There's only three?
Helen Hayes.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
All right. For Sin of Madeleine and Claudet.
Yeah.
That seems like a small list, I bet.
It does.
I would have thought there'd be more.
Maybe
I would, too.
See.
All right.
Now we should run the actors, too.
All right. Yeah. Larry Hinman says, connect these two films, The Night of the Hunt and The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
The Night of the Hunter.
All right.
And The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Connect these two films.
Will there be...
Is there an actor that's in both of them?
There's been two Night of the Hunters, so I don't know if he means the first or the second.
Which, I'm not familiar with the second. Oh, you mean there's
the second one had Nick Nolte and Robert De Niro.
You're thinking of Cape Fear.
Cape, yeah.
I am thinking of Cape Fear. Yeah. Night of the Hunter is the directed by Charles Laughton.
Robert Mitchum.
Yeah, and Charles Laughton directed it.
I don't know.
The Night of the Hunter and the
Charles Laughton
Rocky
directed
Rocky Horror
that.
Picture Show.
And Polly Bergen. No, she was in Cape Fear. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, she was in Cape Fear.
So Rocky Horror and Night of the Hunter.
Yeah. I'm pretty familiar with Night of the Hunter.
Well, connecting them could mean lots of things, right?
Okay, I'll have to work on that. John says, has a guess on the opera of the last name.
Mm-hmm.
Zandoni Francesca de Rimini.
That is correct.
Very good.
Beautifully said.
John from Bernal Heights. Very good, John. Good job. Janine has the counties born in Pacific, Orange County. That is correct. Larry. All right. So here's the answer to the connect the
Night of the Hunter and Rocky Horror
Picture Show. Robert Mitchum has love and hate written on his fingers. Meatloaf has the same words on his fingers.
Doesn't Meatloaf. Radio Raheem and do that too in
it's possible.
Do the Right Thing?
Yeah, maybe you're right.
He's got something on his hands.
I know that Robert Mitchum has one letter on each finger, and there's a knuckle for love and hate. Really creepy.
Mistaken Capital City. Janet has Montreal or Toronto for Ottawa. Very good. They are correct. And Larry Forsberg says. he has The English Patient for Ralph Fiennes. That is correct. Also, he also has a joke. It says, quote, is acupuncture is a jab well done.
Send your puns this way.
Yeah, send your puns. Okay. Matt Skinner says The King's Speech. That is correct. Very good for Colin Firth. All right. And I'm trying to think whose turn it is now.
Yours.
Is it mine? Okay, I'll give you a quick I didn't repeat my. I'm sorry. What famous American author was a direct descendant of one of these Salem, Massachusetts witches sentenced to be hanged in 1692? It's the same last name as well, believe it or not. Same last name of the witch and the author.
Of the witch, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Best picture goes to No Country for Old Men.
It does. Give that man a bow.
All right.
Good job.
That's the one that begins with N.
Yeah. Still working on E.
Okay.
It might be my turn. I'm not sure.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
All right.
I'm just thinking.
Go
All
ahead.
Right. So this might be an easy one. I was surprised they didn't know it. So the Oscars are coming up. What won the 5 big Oscars last year? Picture, actor, actress, supporting.
I was here.
Oh, that's your reason?
Yeah.
I was amazed how...
Best picture went to Spotlight.
It did.
Yeah.
Because there was something else that was supposed to sweep and didn't
Leonardo
sweep.
DiCaprio won Best Actor.
Yeah. Did he
for
really?
The Revenant?
For The Wolf? Oh, for the Revenant.
Very
okay.
good.
Yeah, the Wolfman.
And the other three are Heard.
They are?
Well, I thought so, because even when I looked, I went, oh, yeah. So actress, supporting actor, and supporting actress. We're looking who won, and this would be less than a year ago.
Oh, my God. Isn't that funny?
As a major right. cultural institution they are. So we got Spotlight and Leonardo DiCaprio.
And, okay, I'm going to ask this question very quickly. Which living actor and actress has appeared in the most Best Picture nominees today? Which living actor and actress has appeared in the most Best Picture nominees?
Wouldn't
it have to be Meryl Streep?
It is not Meryl Streep.
So
no.
Not nominated.
She's not even in the top five.
Not nominated this year, ever.
Ever. Then they have to be living. So what living actor and what living actress have appeared in the most Best Picture nominees?
It's more than nominees.
Yeah. Nominees, yeah.
Are any of them on your list that we're working from for that they were in three winners?
No.
Wow.
No, neither one.
All right.
Uh-uh.
So this could be somebody who, like how many have they been in? Like 10?
Yeah. The male was in 10 and the female was in 8.
Hmm. And are they both real well known?
Yes, both very well
kind
known.
Kind of character actors?
No, they're leads. They're leads.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
How about Tom Cruise?
Good guess, but no.
Yeah, I don't think the best pictures don't
so
come
they,
up.
Yeah. You know,
well,
they don't have to be winners. They're
just
nominees.
Yeah. I mean, Born on the 4th of July and all those movies that he made.
Well, okay. Is this person over 60 years old?
They both are.
They both are.
Yeah.
And not Meryl Streep.
not Meryl Streep.
How about Clint Eastwood?
No.
Yeah, he's been in a lot.
Okay, let me go through a couple. Well, you think about that and go a couple of emails. Julie Fennerty says both Ralph Fiennes and Colin Firth were in The English Patient. That is correct. Very good.
Oh, we don't have Colin Firth English Patient.
Yeah, so that's good.
That's good.
That's the first one we finished.
Yep.
Kim Swanson says Ralph Fiennes in English Patient, Dustin Hoffman, Rayman. That is correct. Very good. And Matt Skinner says The Kong is the Congo? No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was asking
the Congo.
About,
The Congo? Is that correct?
Oh. Well, that's not.
If I'm reading this correctly, maybe I'm not.
Tell him to write back and get. He's on the right track, but he's okay. He's got it. There's no such country as the Congo.
The Republic of the Congo.
The
Democratic Republic of the Congo.
That's a country.
And there is one that's just the Congo.
No,
there's not. There's two right next to each other.
There's two right next to each other. Democratic Republic of the Congo is one, and the other one is
the Central African Republic.
That's a third country.
Does that count as
the? Do any of them count
no.
as the?
So no. So Central none of African these, Republic.
These are red herrings.
Republic of the Congo.
Right.
Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Okay.
Those are two on my list.
Right. Okay.
I'm just making sure.
How about the Netherlands?
Making sure we're getting them. No, that's not correct.
That's not. There's
so
no
we got
there, right?
The Bahamas, the Gambia. We got Democratic Republic of the Congo and Republic of the Congo.
Okay. All right. Heather Hernandez says, hi. Could this be one, the United States of America?
Good guess, but no.
It could be.
Well, I think that's could, a, that's could, not a bad
not unreasonable.
Give
unreasonable.
Her a patriotic.
Yeah. I will. Good, Heather. Renee Curran says, the United States of America, the Congo, the Ukraine. We tried all those. Okay. Syrian, I hope I'm pronouncing your name, O'Sullivan. Ralph Fiennes, English Patient, Dustin Hoffman, Tootsie, not Tootsie, that didn't win Best Picture. Countries with the in the name, the Congo. No, tried that. Herbert Childs, California Counties, The Touch Nevada. Okay, all right. Modoc, Lassen, Sierra, Nevada, Placer, El Dorado, Alpine, Mono. Inyo and San Bernardino. Very good. Herb and very good. Thank you.
Josh, how about the Philippines?
No. Surprisingly, I thought so too,
yeah.
But no.
That's not the iffy one.
That's not the iffy one. No.
Carolyn Rose says the Netherlands, but that's not correct. Janosch says SFO composer alphabetically Mark Adamo. The other Mary?
That's correct. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene, which
all right.
had its world premiere here in 2012. Well done.
Good, Jim. Okay.
All right.
I have a guess on the movie guys who have been in three Best Pictures.
Yes.
Was Donald Crisp in Going My Way?
He was not.
Oh. Well, he should have been.
He should have been the
mentor to Bing Crosby. Huh?
Yeah. No. And Josh, if you have something quick, we'll throw it in.
I don't know that I have anything very quick. You go ahead.
Okay. All right. I want to ask an author question it's the quickest question I have. What famous author lived next door to Mark Twain in Hartford, Connecticut?
Oh. In Hartford, Connecticut?
Yeah. What very famous author lived next door? They were very good
Thomas
friends.
Thomas Pynchon.
No.
Well, you say no, but you can't disprove that.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Nobody can disprove anything about Thomas
exactly.
Pynchon.
Cannot disprove that. That's true.
He and Salinger were roommates there.
Yeah.
Okay.
What very famous author lived next door to Mark Twain? They were friends in Hartford, Connecticut.
So who would have been hanging out and famous?
Had a big bestseller.
Yeah.
Big bestseller.
In the 1880s, 1890s?
No, in later. In like the, I mean, doesn't he move up to, in Connecticut. I'm sorry. I was.
Yeah.
Here's a long shot.
Well, the bestseller was.
Here's a long shot guess from our audience. Harriet Beecher Stowe.
That is correct.
Oh, right.
Beecher Stowe.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you. That's good.
Excellent.
I wasn't thinking
good
that.
Good job.
Yeah.
Okay. John, opera composer, Mark Adamo, Gospel of Mary, John from S. Okay, yes,
good.
Very good. Excellent.
I have a quick question if you want one.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
So what song was recorded and performed by both Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Sammy Davis Jr.? Improbably.
Well, I mean, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts recorded a lot of funky stuff.
Yeah.
The Candyman, I mean...
Is an Academy Award-winning song? Or
no, I've changed the subject. This is something I ran across. It's on my short questions list. Yeah.
I mean, when Mary Tyler Moore died, is that it?
Yes.
Love Is All Around?
Yeah, they both recorded the theme song to the Mary Tyler Moore show.
There was a great clip of Joan Jett singing that on
Conan
or
the Letterman show.
Yeah, yeah.
Fabulous version.
Terrific.
Yeah, really a shock that it's such a good song. And then Sammy Davis.
I didn't know about Sammy Davis, but I thought maybe that's where you were going with that.
Yeah, really good.
Diane Reiner says the Colin Firth, the King's Speech, correct. Shirley MacLaine, The Turning Point, and Sweet Charity, no, neither one of those won Best Picture. Ralph Fiennes, The Constant Gardener, didn't win Best Picture, but you got the King's Speech, very good. Kenise Flanagan says countries with the in their official name. The Netherlands, no, mm-hmm. Keep trying that, but it's Josh is not having any of it. It's the Netherlands in English, but Nederland in Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
was Gielgud in the King's Speech?
He was not in the King's Speech.
You only have one Gielgud film.
He was dead by that time, I think. Kim Swanson, a movie starting with an E, Elephant Man. No,
that didn't win Best Picture,
yeah.
And so, no. Sherry Rosenberg, is the movie starts with E, Exodus?
It is not.
Did not win Best Picture.
Did not win Best Picture. I'll give a hint on the E.
Yeah.
It's been mentioned on this show at least 4 times tonight.
Oh, The English Patient.
That's it.
Oh, of course.
I gave that answer for the Ralph Fiennes thing, and I thought, oh, do I want to
reveal too much? So you're not
counting
the?
No, he said that
was disqualified.
Oh, okay. I forgot that's what threw you up.
But Josh asked that.
Yeah,
we disqualified the articles.
All right.
So it's still kosher.
All right. Good. Bill Hamilton, single word, Best Picture, Exodus. John Sparky says, here's a question to ponder. There are 12 movies that were directed by Alfred Hitchcock after 1940 that titles consist of one word and one word only.
12?
Yeah.
So Psycho.
Yeah.
Psycho, Topaz, Vertigo,
good.
Frenzy,
good.
Josh, this is
Marnie.
Good.
That's 5. How many?
He said there's 12.
There's 12.
There's 12, yeah.
After? Okay.
I'll leave them out. Leave it out.
We only have 4 minutes left on the show.
Yeah, Lifeboat.
Suspicion after 48?
Suspicion's 41. That's fine. Suspicion.
Oh, I thought he said they're at, okay.
Suspicion. After 40.
After 40.
Okay.
Well, Sabotage and Saboteur.
Right. Not Sabotage, Saboteur. Sabotage is before 1940.
What's the significance of the 40?
When he came to America.
Oh.
Notorious.
Notorious,
yes,
is good. Right?
Yes. I think you have just about all of them now.
That's 8.
Okay. Leave it out. Maybe not. Think about it.
All right.
What was his very last film?
Family Plot.
Yeah, and Frenzy was right before it.
Frenzy was right before it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sherry... we did that.
No one's had last year's Academy Award winners. That's still floating around there. That's a stumper.
Okay. JP says Mistaken Capital's Auckland, New Zealand. And when it should be Wellington, and you are absolutely correct. Very good. Yes, and that's for the mistaken the cities of people think it's a capital city when it's actually not. Jeanette, the counties. This keeps saying the Netherlands, the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No.
Well, yeah. We got both the Congos.
Very good. Okay. And Charles Kennedy. Nations beginning with the Central Republic, he means the Central African Republic.
Right.
And perhaps the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Right. So it's Democratic Republic of the Congo. The ones we're looking for do not begin with the, or at least one of them doesn't.
Ah, okay. And here we have they asked about the actresses with the same mm-hmm. first and last initials who won Best Actress. We have Holly Hunter and Helen Hunt.
Oh,
both true.
So two
right,
more.
Right, yeah.
Yes, very good. Excellent. Which nobody came up with except you.
The double H's.
Very good, yeah, both double H's.
And you had Helen Hayes. Well, maybe he really wanted to know which three had the same double
Maybe that
initials.
Was it.
I think that was the real question.
That would have been good.
That would have been an
interesting question. Yeah.
Okay. Oops, this mic go out? This go out? Can you hear me? Okay. Charles Kennedy, we got to wrap up here. Charles Kennedy, the Capitals, Sydney for Melbourne, no, not that. Aqua New Zealand, says Fred. Clint Eastwood in the Most Best Pictures, no. Last year's Mark Rylance and Bridge of Spies.
Yes.
That's right.
That
okay.
Best supporting
okay.
Actor.
I'm sorry. We have to clean up very quickly here. What do we got?
First alphabetical Best Picture winner is All About Eve, countries with The St. Vincent and The Grenadines, and if you're counting, El Salvador.
Go.
I may even give them Pagliacci was in The Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening, written by Hoagy Carmichael and Johnny Mercer. And the other two Academy Award winners, Brie Larson was Best Actress for Room, and Alicia Vikander won for The Danish Girl for Supporting Actress.
Right.
How quickly we forget.
I'm going to hold on to the Academy Award question until next week. The famous author who was a direct descendant of one of the Salem, that's Ray Bradbury.
Oh.
Ray Bradbury. The actors who were in the three best pictures, the ones that nobody got, Ralph Fiennes, The Hurt Locker, he was in that. Colin Firth, The English, well, we got all those. John Gielgud, Around the World in 80 Days and Chariots of Fire. Dustin Hoffman, Midnight Cowboy, and we got Kramer versus Kramer. Shirley MacLaine, Around the World in 80 Days.
Oh,
and Donald Crisp, Mutiny on the Bounty and The Life of Emile Zola. Ah. So we didn't get to your call. We do apologize. Thank you for putting up with a call. What am I talking? Your email. Thank you for putting up with us tonight and sending in your emails. It was very helpful. Thanks a lot, everybody. Our panel tonight is Josh Cosman from The Chronicle. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thanks.
Lori Fisher, thank you very much, Lori, Dabble Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones, except they didn't handle the phones. But
but they would have.
They would have if they had been on.
It was one of our best nights.
Thanks, everybody, for being so patient and tolerant. And we'll be back to our regular phones next week, I hope. So have a great week, everybody. And please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.
KALW is a media sponsor for the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, which presents Poem Jazz. Robert Pinsky, the only poet in history to serve three terms as U.S. Poet Laureate, brings his verse to life in Poem Jazz, an innovative dialogue between poetry and music, with Grammy-winning jazz pianist Lawrence Hopgood. Tuesday, February 28th at 7 p.m. Information at jccsf.org/arts. Revolutions Per Minute with Sarah Cahill is next, followed by 2 hours of slow music for Fast Times. It's music from the hearts of space from 10 to midnight. All ahead here on 91.7 KALW San Francisco.